No.
How do they have a ladder? Right, finish up the
question. Oh, you have to show the canvas.
Okay, last night we spent a great deal of time talking about the Chabad Chitan Mashiach. Those of you who weren't here, tough luck. And there were, who was here? Raise your hands. Okay, so fair enough, you can consult the people who were here about what was said, not reviewing it. Because you guys go swimming, you're going to review it. What did you guys do?
We didn't go, Rabbi, I'm telling you.
Yeah, right. anyway, so, but tonight we're going to talk a little bit about other issues surrounding Moshiach, but one of them requires me to do a little bit of Chazara from last night, which is that in Chassidus they hold that Moshiach is going to be the person who ultimately rectifies all of mankind, meaning all Chaisol and the world in general perhaps has to do tshuva in order for the Messianic age to begin, and Moshiach is the person who brings about that massive tshuva. The Rambam doesn't seem to hold. That that's essential, because the Rambam writes, and we know that this is the case right from the Gemara, that the Akiva believed that Bar Kochba, also known as Ben Koziba by other names, was Mashiach. Rabbi Akiva believed that until he saw that Bar Kochba obviously was unsuccessful in his revolt against the Romans. So, Bar Kokhba was a military leader. He's not known to have been a scholar. He's not known even to have been particularly pious. In fact, there's indications that he wasn't particularly pious. From the perspective of Chabad, it would make much more sense, or Hasidus in general, I should say, it's not just Chabad, it would make much more sense to say that Rabbi Akiva was Mashiach than to say Bar Kokhba is Mashiach. Because Rabbi Akiva was the greatest Tana of all, and surely we're talking about the person who's going to create mass tshuva and is going to be able to rectify everything which needs to be rectified and unify the generation with God. So it makes more sense to say that that's going to be Rabbi Akiva than to say it's Bar Kochba. So, but clearly Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that Mashiach is a political leader, and in fact the way the Rambam describes it, in order to be Mashiach, you have to do three things. First of all, there's one precondition. You have to be a king from the house of David. Now, this is meaningless, because anybody who has any Jewish ancestry in our day and age is descended from King David. Because the way genetically things work out, everybody's descended from everybody. So therefore, this is not a problem. You don't have to actually be from the tribe of Yehuda, because we know that there was a thought at some point in history that Shimshon, Samson, was going to be Mashiach, and Shimshon was not from Shevet Yehuda, he was from Shevet Dan. His mother was from Shevet Yehuda, but he was not officially from Shevet Yehuda, so we see he had to be descended, not necessarily the actual son after son after son, going back to King David. And then you have to do three things. You have to fight the wars of Israel and overcome their enemies. You have to ingather the exiles, I guess all those who want to be ingathered, to the land of Israel. And you also have to build the temple, the Beit HaMikdash. Says the Rambam, if you do all those three things, you're Mashiach. That is considered to be the definition of Mashiach. So according to the Rambam, it's not necessarily so that there's a unique, special individual who knows that he's Mashiach. No. There could be, many people could try to be Mashiach. If you want to step to the plate and try, take your swing, you're entitled to it. And the Rambam goes on. He says, if a person was not successful in achieving these three tasks, then he's considered to be a legitimate and righteous Jewish king, but he wasn't Mashiach. Yeah.
What about a ger?
A ger would be a problematic from this perspective, right? A ger, somebody who had no Jewish ancestry, would be a problem. Okay? Yeah.
But what's going on that child thing? Rabbi Akiva saying that person is Mashiach,
right? Did he? Clearly, Rabbi Akiva thought that Mashiach is, like the Rambam describes, the individual who brings political salvation to the Jewish people.
That person did that?
Bar Kokhba tried. He failed, but he tried. He rebelled against the Romans, and he had plans to recreate the Jewish, independent Jewish state and build the Beit HaMikdash.
It would still be a problem for Rabbi Akiva then to have been a chef, because he was a son of a Ger, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he wasn't completely, you know, he was descended from Gerim, but there was some Jewish blood in there, right, by the time it came to Rabbi Akiva, right? So, you know, because Sisro was his grandfather, right? And through Yoel, and some of the conversion occurred, you know, at least on one side, many generations previously. Whereas there was already enough Jewish blood in there to make him qualify.
Sisro and Yoel went together?
What?
Sisro and Yoel went together?
You don't come to our Navi class? Oh. Yes. Yeah.
I'm sorry to derail things, but what's Jewish blood? Because I thought either factually Jewish or not factually Jewish. And you're, so either it comes from the same sphere that all other Jews come from or not.
What?
You said Jewish blood.
I didn't mean it literally, I meant it figuratively.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why weren't the Maccabees considered to be the Mashiach? And they did kind of think that it was a
They did, but they didn't complete the mission.
But wasn't there a fault that the rabbis had against them for not electing a tribal Yehuda leader?
That's the Ramban. The Ramban says they should not have taken the kingship. But it's not, Chazal themselves don't say that. And so it could be that they part of the reason they punish is because they should not have become kings. But Lamaisa, it's not clear that Mashiach himself has to be actually from the tribe of Yehuda. As I said, because Shimshon was one of the candidates to be Mashiach. Now, it's important to know that in the Gemara itself, in Masechet Sukkah, there are two Mashiachs. There's Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. And the tasks which the Rambam allocates to one Mashiach in the Gemara are split up in among the two Mashiachim. First comes Mashiach ben Yosef, who is descended from Yosef's lineage, and he fights the wars against the non-Jews, or against the enemies of Israel. According to the Gemara in Sukkah, he's killed in battle. And then Mashiach ben David comes and completes the process. Now, the Rambam obviously combined the two of them. Interestingly, it seems that the Gros certainly, and I believe the Baal Shem Tov as well, both believed that they were a nitzot of Mashiach ben Yosef. Certainly the Gros, perhaps I'm wrong about the Baal Shem Tov.
What?
A nitzot, a spark of Mashiach ben Yosef. Meaning that the Gros was of the opinion Mashiach ben Yosef is not necessarily a specific individual. Mashiach ben Yosef is anybody who can further, I mean, it could be at the end of time it's going to be a specific individual, but anybody who furthers the resettlement of the Jewish people in the land of Israel is already a spark from the neshama of Mashiach ben Yosef.
Or so be that person?
So Rav Kook got into deep trouble for this, but at his hesped for Herzl, when he gave the eulogy for Herzl, he said that Herzl perhaps was Mashiach ben Yosef. I have a friend many years ago in high school, I lost touch with him, told me that his grandfather was a Mekubo, and that his grandfather said that any prime minister is Mashiach ben Yosef at the time that they are prime minister. Which is a pretty hefty thing to say, because some of these prime ministers have not been God's gift to mankind. Certainly not Shomer Shabbos. So it's difficult to say that. But okay, you know, if you hold Mashiach ben Yosef is a secular leader, so it's possible. Yeah.
He can't be Ben Yosef because we lost the tribe a long time ago. We don't have Yehuda.
Yeah, but that's almost immaterial. That's what I said. In other words, everybody who's Jewish is descended from Yosef and David. It's not a problem. Yeah.
There is reportedly a statement in the Zohar effect that he made a prediction that in the year 1948, on a Friday afternoon, the spirit of Mashiach would descend upon the earth, which eventually it did. Is that a ridiculous quotation?
Yes.
So that there is no such quotation in the Zohar
no.
whatsoever.
I mean, I've never learned the Zohar through. To be honest, I've only looked at a few Zohars here and there. But I suspect that if this Zohar existed, then it would be far more public than me first hearing about it in Or Sameach at the age of 46,
from
from a student. So I'm suspicious, you know, it could be. Could be from one of the new manuscripts, but, I tend to doubt it. Now, the Gra himself, he wrote a sefer called Kol HaTorah about, he didn't write, I'm sorry, one of his students wrote it, about the process of Moshiach coming. And he says that it's important to daven that Moshiach ben Yosef doesn't die. Because it's not imperative that Moshiach ben Yosef dies, even though the Gemara seems to say that it's inevitable, but it's not imperative, and therefore one should daven that Moshiach ben Yosef doesn't die, and somehow that will make the Geula that much better. Okay?
Why be afraid of him dying if Moshiach ben David is coming anyway?
Well, obviously there is the very fact that one is called Ben Yosef and one is called Ben David indicates that there are specific tasks which are allocated to one and specific tasks allocated to the other. Fundamentally, we see throughout Jewish history there is first leaders come from the children of Rachel, Yosef and Binyamin, and only afterwards from the children of Leah. Thus, the first king from the Jewish people was Yosef, right?
Sure.
The first, I'm sorry? Yeah, I'm gonna get there. Okay, the first shofet in Eretz Yisrael was Yoshua, was who's from Shevet Ephraim, right? The second shofet was Othniel ben Kenaz, who was from Shevet Yehuda. The first king was Shaul, who was from Shevet Binyamin. The second king was King David, who was from the tribe of Yehuda. So we see that Klal Yisrael needs to have the preparation of somebody from the children of Rachel before the person from the children of Leah can take over. And it seems that this has to do with setting the tone, because the children of Yosef are considered to be more humble, and they're considered to be also more modest in the sense of sexuality and things like that. So therefore, their tone seems to be critical in terms of setting the pattern for the kingship. That's why it seems that Moshiach ben Yosef has such a critical role, which transcends just fighting the wars, because of the spiritual elements which he represents. I assume that was what the Gra's issue was. So be that as it may, in fact, the Rambam doesn't rule that there has to be a Moshiach ben Yosef. He's according to him, all the tasks can be combined into one entity. There also is interesting machlekes Rambam and Ravid. The Ravid brings down that one of the qualifications to be Mashiach is that he can smell who's a tzaddik and smell who's a rasha. For harichol b'yiras Hashem, he has a super sense of smell, and he can tell by smelling you what your status is. The Ravid is annoyed at the Rambam for not bringing down this qualification. But it seems that the Rambam is Rishitoso. He's following this line of reasoning which he has, which is that Mashiach is a human figure, not a divine figure, necessarily. It could be a divine figure. Somewhere in the Rambam elsewhere, not in these halachos, says that Mashiach will be slightly less than Moshe Rabbeinu in prophecy and greater than Shlomo, King Solomon, in wisdom. But obviously that's not a precondition. That's the Rambam's assumption, but not the halachic requirement. And therefore, he also doesn't bring the halachic requirement of being able to smell who fears God and who doesn't fear God. Yeah?
Maybe the smell of being fear God and doesn't is like a figurative expression. Like in English, we say someone can smell dishonesty from a mile away.
It may well be, but the Ravid certainly, who was the Rambam's chief antagonist, does take it literally. So Rambam perhaps didn't take it. That's another way of understanding it. Rambam didn't take it literally. But so that's it could be. I was proposing that perhaps where I want to propose that the reason the Rambam didn't bring it down was because it's not essential. Now there are a couple of other things which about the Rambam. The Rambam has a concept, and this pertains to the Chabad issue. The Rambam says that if a person is seems to be doing the right things and leading the Jewish nation right in the right direction, he's bechet kas Moshiach. We can assume he's Mashiach, not definitely Mashiach, but we assume he's Mashiach. So therefore, one can make the argument, as was made in Chabad, that the Rebbe was not necessarily definitely Mashiach, but we should assume he's Mashiach. And those of you who were here last night know that there are Kabbalistic reasons for Chabad to assume that the Rebbe is Mashiach. Right? Thanks. That makes sense. Did I say that last night?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
I really did, I promise. Even though these guys are making fun of me. Anyway, therefore, there can be a concept of Chezkas Mashiach. Somebody who's assumed to be Mashiach because he's on the way. It's important also to note, from the Chabad perspective, that the Rebbe did all three things. He ingathered he fought the wars of God, and he ingathered the exiles, and he built the Beis Hamikdash. Now you might wonder where exactly this took place. So one very convenient tool in Hasidus in general, then in Chabad specifically, is that there's a concept of Bechina. Bechina means, in this sense, an aspect. And sometimes we look at the aspect as if it's the thing itself, even though it's only an aspect, but it can be as if it is the thing. So here too we have aspects. What are the aspects which are involved? The Rebbe brought down the Soviet Union.
The situation was where they were sitting in a place and they were screaming "Hoorah!" like he's Russian, like referring to Stalin. And at that moment they were screaming so hard that second he passed away.
You sure weren't saying "Hooray"?
Okay.
Anyway,
but how did he bring down the Soviet Union?
Mystically. He predicted its downfall, and since he predicted its...